Hello there, and welcome back to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 438, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we're going to be completing the book of 2 Kings with the reading of chapter 25 from the Common English Bible. Let's begin. 2 Kings chapter 25. Now Zedekiah rebelled against the Babylonian king. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's rule, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem with his entire army. He camped beside the city and built a siege wall all around it. The city was under attack until King Zedekiah's 11th year. On the 9th day of the month, the famine in the city got so bad that no food remained for the common people. Then the enemy broke into the city. All the soldiers fled by night using the gate between the two walls near the king's garden. The Chaldeans were surrounding the city, so the soldiers ran toward the desert plain. But the Chaldean army chased King Zedekiah and caught up with him in the Jericho plains. His entire army deserted him. So the Chaldeans captured the king and brought him back to the Babylonian king, who was at Riblah. There his punishment was determined. Zedekiah's sons were slaughtered right before his eyes. Then he was blinded, put in bronze chains, and taken off to Babylon. On the 7th day, in the 5th month, in the 19th year of Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan arrived at Jerusalem. He was the commander of the guard and an official of the Babylonian king. He burned down the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and all of Jerusalem's houses. He burned down every important building. The whole Chaldean army, under the commander of the guard, tore down the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, exiled the people who were left in the city, those who had already surrendered to Babylon's king, and the rest of the population. The commander of the guard left some of the land's poor people behind to work the vineyards and be farmers. The Chaldeans shattered the bronze columns, the stands, and the bronze sea that were in the Lord's temple. They carried the bronze off to Babylon. They also took the pots, the shovels, the wick trimmers, the dishes, and all the bronze items that had been used in the temple. The commander of the guard took the fire pans and the sprinkling bowls, which were made of pure gold and pure silver. The bronze and all these objects, the two pillars, the sea, and the stands that Solomon had made for the Lord's temple, was too heavy to weigh. Each pillar was 27 feet high. The bronze capital on top of the first pillar was 4.5 feet high. Decorative lattices and pomegranates, all made from bronze, were around the capital. And the second pillar was decorated with lattices just like the first. The commander of the guard also took away Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the priest next in rank, and the three doorkeepers. Of those still left in the city, Nebuzaradan took away an officer who was in charge of the army and five royal advisors who were discovered in the city. He also took away the secretary of the officer responsible for drafting the land's people to fight, as well as 60 people who were discovered in the city. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, took all of these people and brought them to the Babylonian king at Riblah. The king of Babylon struck them down, killing them in Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was exiled from its land. Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar put Gedaliah, Ahikam's son and Shaphan's grandson, in charge of the people he had left behind in the land of Judah. All the army officers and their soldiers heard that the Babylonian king had appointed Gedaliah as governor, so they came with their men to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The officers were Ishmael, Nethaniah's son, Johanan, Kareah's son, Seraiah, Tanhumeth's son, who was a Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, Maacathite's son. Gedaliah made a solemn pledge to them and their soldiers, telling them, "Don't be afraid of the Chaldean officials. Stay in the land and serve the Babylonian king, and things will go well for you." But in the 7th month, Ishmael, Nethaniah's son, and Elishama's grandson, who was from the royal family, came with 10 soldiers, and they struck Gedaliah, and he died. They also killed the Judeans and the Chaldeans who were with him in Mizpah. Then all the people, young and old, along with the army officers, departed for Egypt because they were afraid of the Chaldeans. In the year that Evil-Merodach became king of Babylon, he released Judah's king Jehoiakim from prison. This happened in the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, on the 27th day of the 12th month. Evil-Merodach spoke kindly to Jehoiakim and seated him above the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim took off his prisoner clothes and ate regularly in the king's presence for the rest of his life. At the king's command, a regular food allowance was given to him every day for the rest of his life. May God bless the reading of His Word. 860 years after Joshua led them into the Promised Land, the Jews lost it because of their failure to follow God's law. How many times had God told them, "If you will but turn from your wicked ways, I will restore you"? But time and time again they went back to their sinful ways like a dog returns to his vomit. It is sad, but it is a sobering reminder that even though God is love, He is a righteous and holy God. Patience does not imply weakness or the condoning of evil. It does not indicate forgetfulness. When warning after warning is given and ignored, it should not be a surprise when patience ends and judgment falls. Some Christians have a casual attitude regarding grace. They think that because God doesn't send fire from heaven or the ground to open up and swallow sinners, that He does not take sin seriously. They think that since Jesus paid it all, then sin is no big deal. Nothing could be further from the truth. Sin, my sin, your sin, is the reason Jesus was beaten beyond recognition and then brutally nailed to a rough-hewn, splinter-filled wooden cross in the most brutal execution method ever devised by man. Do you honestly think God is soft on sin? The only reason you and I do not have to face the consequences of our sin is because of the infinitely selfless sacrifice made by the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the son of the living God. Yes, He was and is God, but He was also human. The prospect of making that sacrifice was terrifying. Reread His prayer at Gethsemane if you doubt it. As He hung on the cross, He felt excruciating pain and devastating separation from God. Is God soft on sin? No. He is not. God's judgment, all of it, fell on Jesus. So the grace that brings forgiveness to me and to you, if you are a follower of Jesus, was not and is not cheap. Never forget it and always be thankful for it. If you have not given your life to Jesus, don't be like the Jews and think that God's patience with you means He doesn't care, isn't paying attention, or worse yet, that He isn't there. The Jews were His chosen people. He loved them, but He brought severe judgment on them. The time eventually came where time was up and they were taken into captivity. Your time will come too. It might not come today, tomorrow, next year, or 50 years from now. We don't know. Each of us, though, is working on finite time. Don't let time run out before you accept the gift of grace offered by Jesus that He paid so dearly for. Your thoughts? After tomorrow's episode that'll take us to Matthew 27 and the crucifixion, we will begin the book of 1 Chronicles. If you'd like to leave a comment on today's show, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 438.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at #LifespringMedia and there's two B's in web. Or you can visit the Facebook page. Just search for Lifespring Media. The show is brought to you by me and the listeners who value what we're doing here. My thanks to those who support the show and the Value for Value model. And a special thanks to the listener who wants only to be known as my friendly editor. If you think the show brings value to your life, check out support.lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.